You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to hug your country if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for no blood, blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two. I'm Dave Hodges, the host of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We come to you live every Sunday evening at this time from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the East Coast. And you can fill in the gaps depending on where you live. Our thanks go out to Lisa Haven. Just really informative stuff. She never fails to amaze. Next hour, stay tuned because we'll have Pat Wood with us. And in just a moment, we're going to be joined by Gary Haven. First of all, I need to let you know who brings this stuff to you. People that help me defray the expense of bringing you this show. And we have some terrific sponsors. Well, what do I say about Bob Griswold? You've heard him on this show a lot. We just did a YouTube interview. Wow, was that good? And I'd encourage you to check it out on our channel, which is The Common Sense Show. But he's got readymaderesources.com, and I call him King Prepper. Anything that you want and need, from communications to water filtration, anything, Bob's got it. Go to readymaderesources.com. You'll see a number there on the screen, and if you got a question, call him. He will consult with you free of charge. Absolutely fantastic. ReadyMadeResources.com. Also, we are brought to you by PrepareWithDave.com. I took 4 weeks of storable food. It was $250. We have reduced that price to $99 because we want to eliminate all the excuses people have up front for not preparing. That's only going to go for a few more days. Go to PrepareWithDave.com. No coupon code needed. Please get the peace of mind that comes with knowing that you have helped prep your family for what's coming. Well, on the Newsmaker line with me, we have Gary Haven. And it's been a long time since he's been on, but he's been on our show quite a bit. And he was the producer of that movie that, ooh, we love that movie, Armageddon, the UN takeover. We're going to talk about that for a couple minutes and then get into the Trump administration. And Gary's got an extensive business background, almost too long to get into right now, but we'll probably hit some things as we go. Gary, welcome to the show. I'm really glad you can join us. And my friend, it's been far too long.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I'm glad to be back. Miss talking to you guys. Of course, I read everything you write all week long, so I feel like I hadn't missed much.
Well, the movie that you produced, and Alex Jones had the funniest cameo role I think ever. I mean, what a juxtaposition he played. But that movie was really telling for what's coming, because you know I've been writing about the Kigali principles, and the UN only needs an excuse in their mind to bring the troops in, and I think those troops are here. We've proved that 9 times Sunday, and now it looks like they're prepping for their equipment to survive an EMP attack. And boy, you had a lot of those elements with the UN coming in and rolling over the country in that movie 2 years ago. I mean, do you have a crystal ball, or how did you know all this?
Well, I read all your stuff. You actually influenced a lot of those things. And of course, our friend Steve Quayle, you know, the information's out there. If people are, you know, willing to get uncomfortable. Truth right now is really uncomfortable and right in front of us. You know, the kind of the message of the movie was a movie with a message. We adhered to the truth. There were so many interesting things that are out there. Everything from taking our guns away to the deal that Obama and Samantha Powers made with the UN, that they can come in under times of duress in the U.S. and just the executive orders and the National Defense Authorization Act. I mean, all these things are real. And, you know, the idea that they can arrest an American citizen for suspicion, hold him indefinitely without charges, without a defense, these are on the books right now. That's the world we live in. And it's so obvious, if you're paying a little bit of attention to really the alternative media, mainstream media is nothing but propaganda. It's straight out of the Soviet Union propaganda that's designed to further their agenda. And it's, you know, it's funny, if you read a story in the mainstream media right now, I read one the other day, it talked about the false flag in Syria, and it kept saying supposedly, or it implied all of these things with just enough conditioning in the words to not claim it. and it's, if you read it, you know, kind of casually, you would really believe that Assad was stupid enough to get gases on people and those money. It's just ridiculous. But it's designed that way. Propaganda is a brilliant form of communication. Unfortunately, it's not truthful, and it's not in our best interest. But you know, getting back to the movie, we had a real scare with a confrontation with Russia, which we'll talk about later. But it isn't a nuclear attack that we should be afraid of. They're not going to do something that would destroy the Earth or pollute the atmosphere or cause retaliation. They're going to do something much smarter than that. It's called an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse. It's exactly the thing that they would do, because it couldn't be proven they did it. And according to the congressional studies, up to 90% of Americans would be dead in a year. And the infrastructure, the country itself, would not be contaminated. That's exactly what they're going to do when they're ready to do it. And one of the things perhaps we can talk about tonight is who they are, because we're kind of getting caught into the trap of the false paradigm of right and left, of globalist and nationalist. Those are paradigms designed to distract us, to keep us chattering about things while we miss the big picture. And I was a guest on Ron Paul's program a few weeks ago, and Ron Paul's just wonderful. And yes, I'm friends with his son Rand, and Rand's probably the only completely uncompromised politician in Washington, and I get to talk with him on a frequent basis. But I was on his dad's program, and you know, and people want to get right up to the edge, but when you start talking about the powers that be, it's difficult for people to do. So maybe we'll get to talk about that tonight. But my movie was a true story that hasn't happened yet, and it's available through AmerigeddonMovie.com. And Walmart was carrying it for a while, but I don't know if it's still in stock there. I haven't seen it lately. So going to the website, AmerigeddonTheMovie.com, is a great place for it. But I think we taught a lot of people a lot of stuff that helped them to prepare for what will come. It's just really just a question of when, not if.
You know what's funny about that movie? That when it came out, I saw the previews for it. I was sitting in a Harkins theater in Phoenix, and they previewed it. And I, you know, my wife and I both recognized where it was. And the reaction afterwards, when the movie played, because we went to see it live too. And when the movie played, then I started getting phone calls from friends of mine that kind of half know what I do, but don't want to get too close to it because it's too hot for them. And they said, Dave, is that really possible? And I said, thecommonsenseshow.com. Thank you very much. And that's just, yeah, that's how it is with these people. If they see it on the screen, they believe it. If they see it on CNN and Fox, they believe it. But if they hear it from us and we can have documentation longer than our arms, they don't want to believe it.
Yeah. Well, you and I both have counseling degrees, and we understand the psychology in all this. You know, something is so threatening to, you know, to their view, then they become creative in dismissing the evidence and you know, the normalcy bias and the confirmation bias and all the things that keep really intelligent people from being able to perceive what's right in front of them. And that's probably the toughest thing. You know, you do a great job on that. Even though I have a degree in counseling, I've read so many things from you that help wake people up as to the difficulty of perceiving evidence. And you've really probably done the best job in teaching people about the psychology and the obstacles that come with it in seeing the truth. So I want to commend you for that.
Well, I appreciate that, but I've had a good laboratory, and it's called home, and my beautiful wife. You know, we go back, if you go back to 2004, when my mess with McCain started over property rights, and we were engaged in that. My wife was still in charge of McDonald's for Arizona, high corporate position. I'm coaching college basketball and teaching psychology courses. And that was our life. It was wonderful. And we were doing well. And then, boom, our property is in jeopardy, and we're kind of too old to start over, and this is really bad. And we had a brand-new mortgage. We're going to have to walk away. They're going to take our land without paying for it. So I got into it, and I found the North American Union. That was discovery number one. And then I found Agenda 21, and I said, uh-oh. And then a guy locally offered me a radio spot up in Wickenburg, Arizona, and he said, come on up here. You need to do this. You're a natural guy, and I like having you on my show, and I want you to have your own show. Here's the bottom line of what I'm saying. My wife, for about a year or two, thought I had lost my mind. She goes, we're in a property rights battle. What's Agenda 21? The UN. The UN's not here, honey. Come on. They're not hiding under the bed. And so, but now, you know, it's funny. You know, we turn on the mainstream news sometimes to figure out what the enemy's up to. And she's quicker to the draw than I am on this now. So I've seen the transformation. And it was a transformation for me, too. It really is. Despite the fact my dad was naval intelligence, it was a transformation for me to figure out that so much of what we're told is an absolute lie.
Yes. It's funny. My wife was slow to the party. Now she's driving the Suburban to Sam's to make sure we're stocked up on the latest survival stuff. Thank goodness she's with me on this. It'd be really difficult.
Yeah, so preparewithdave.com. There we go. Anyway, it is funny that we kind of drag our spouses into this. And listen, my wife has been so tolerant of me, and I know how busy you are, too, and your wife has probably had to learn to make compromises. Mine did. When you're a college basketball coach, your life is not your own. She adjusted to that so well. I mean, she was such a great coach's wife. But when we got to this, she said, honey, just fight the property rights battle. You're doing a great job of that. Don't bring this other conspiracy stuff into it. And now, when we talk about it, she says, yeah, when John McCain tried to steal our land because of Canamex, she's got it.
Uh-huh. Yep. You know, it's something else, too. As Christians, we must pursue truth. The author of truth has given us salvation and eternity. So how can we deny truth? I can't, and I'm in a position where I've got a pretty good life. I'm retired now. I don't have to work, and I've got the resources to do what I want to do. I probably, if I was smarter, would just shut up. You know, I did that Hillary Clinton rant from Haiti 8 days before the election that went viral, and a million people watched me explain how the Clintons had stolen billions of dollars from the Haitians, the poorest country in our hemisphere, 8 days before the election between her and Trump. And when she lost, I thought, oh, thank goodness, maybe I'm in the clear now. And it was about a week later, and I was in Haiti when it happened. A young girl who was volunteering to investigate the Clintons and child sex trafficking in Haiti was suicided in Haiti, and I was not very far away. And this was after the election. by the way, last Saturday, a physician who had gone to Haiti with the Clinton Foundation and then came back and said they had provided nothing. The billions of dollars they collected was spent on their own personal needs. And he did a CNN interview and became very outspoken about it. On Saturday, he apparently died of suicide by stabbing himself in the chest. Now, he's a surgeon, but he misses his heart. So he bleeds slowly to death, allegedly. And this is a man with two young daughters. And so they're still at it. These are evil. They're Satanist. And ultimately, we've got to remember as Christians that this is a battle between good and evil and between the true God and the false God of this world. And the ultimate people in power have given themselves over to Satan. And it's important to reflect on that from time to time so we don't get caught up in the false paradigm of globalism versus nationalism. And you know what I mean.
I do. I'll tell you, I put a little stock in the nationalism thing because I want a president to be president of the United States, not the world, not beholden to the banks. And to me, those two terms fit there. But I do agree, a lot of what we talk about is pejorative terms. They're kind of meaningless. I like the term, liberal left, and I like to get into liberalism as a mental illness because it's descriptive. It catches people's attention, and you got to have those little hooks now and then to catch the people who are new.
Yeah, and you know,
but I hear what you're saying.
And you're right. The vast majority of liberals are not Satanists. Unfortunately, the true leadership is. These are just useful idiots. And you know, we're talking about liberals. This fake conservatism of the establishment Republicans, they're probably worse. And they're worse because, as Cicero said, they're the enemy in our camp, not the enemy at the gate. And they're more to be feared because they walk among us. And so I'm just as tough on these Republicans that want to send our kids to Syria, who have provided cover for the United States funding and training ISIS. And people don't understand that. ISIS and the so-called Free Syrian Army and these moderate rebels, these are CIA operatives, and they are a proxy army to unseat Assad. And we fund them. We train them. And in this nonsense that we're trying to fight them or get rid of them, Trump's done a pretty good job making it look like that's what we're doing. Of course, it was the Russians who shut this thing down over there, not the Americans. If we want to shut it down, why not just quit giving them Toyotas and tennis shoes, not to mention the $1 billion that they drove out of Mosul with the keys in the Humvees. We could have easily sent in F-18s and destroyed the whole thing. Not Trump. I've been trying so hard to forget the other president, Obama. Just let them drive all that stuff out of there. So it's such a facade right now. It's so easy to see what's really going on. And again, we'll talk about that in a few minutes when we talk about, is Trump the real deal?
Well, let's get into that. Is he the real deal?
Well, let me preempt this by saying I was a major donor to Trump, and major means a lot of money, because I was hopeful that we had an outsider. So I came to the party with a high degree of hope and expectation that that God was sending us someone, at least a reprieve. And up until about 4 weeks ago, I was still hopeful. And I tell you, I was hopeful in spite of the lawlessness of not just Clinton, but the month after month after month, and they're as guilty as can be, and nothing's being done about it. But I'm still hopeful. But the Skripal poisoning in London, it's been about 4 weeks now, the Novichok poisoning, it made no sense. Why would Putin kill an agent that had been sent back to, he was traded from Russia back to England on a swap? I mean, this guy, there was no motive to kill this guy. And if Putin wanted to kill him, he'd have him run over with a truck. He wouldn't use a poison that would be traceable back to Russia. It's all in stunk. And the first thing the media did, and Trump and all these guys did, was start sending Russian diplomats home. And it was as clear a false flag as you ever had one. And, of course, now we know it wasn't Novichok. The girl's home from the hospital when this stuff kills you in 3 minutes. And the father is recovering and is going to be well. And then Switzerland, the number two laboratory in the world to investigate these things, finds out it's not Novichok. It's, in fact, a poison that the U.S. and Great Britain make. So now we know it was all nonsense. But then the next thing Trump did was he made John Bolton his national security advisor. And he put Pompey up for Secretary of State, and then the woman in charge of the CIA, whose nickname is the Torture Queen. These are the most warlike, never seen a war that they didn't want to dive into, or not, or let me say, send our children to and our money to. And it was just a complete opposite of what he claimed to be, which is let America be involved in these wars. But there was his war cabinet. And then we have this obvious false flag in Syria. And everybody knows it didn't happen. You know, the UN went in a couple days ago and said there was no chemical weapons. You know, here we're blowing up their chemical weapons, factories and storage. If there had been chemical weapons there, we'd have killed hundreds of people. The idea of blowing them up was stupid, but that's what we did because we knew there was no chemical weapons there. And again, Assad had no motive. He was just about to take that city. They were arranging for the surrender of it. And to do that at that point with his own people, there was no motive. And but then we start firing missiles over it with Putin claiming, if you send them the missiles, we're gonna sink the ships they come from. This is World War III stuff we're talking about. And yet Trump's firing missiles over there on an obvious false flag that, and I'll quote you on this, that Ray Charles could have seen.
Yeah.
And just before that, I missed one good point. 3 days before the false flag Syrian alleged chemical attack, Trump made an announcement that he was bringing our kids home from Syria.
Yes.
And I was on Ron Paul's program the next day after he announced that. Ron Paul asked me, do you believe him? And I said, you know, no. I think he's just saying that to try to appease his people. You know, he just signed that horrible omnibus bill with massive debt and spending on it. So he needed to say something to win some of his back. And sure enough, says he's bringing our kids home. 3 days later, we've got this obvious false flag attack. And then 4 or 5 days after that, we're firing missiles into Syria. So I got to tell you, Dave, I'm a little slow to the draw, but Trump's convinced me now. I'm convinced that he was compromised from the day he ran for the nomination.
You think it goes that far back?
I think he made a deal. And, you know, the Democrats, through George Soros and the voting machines, and you remember what Amstel, the bankers, no, I'm sorry, this was Stalin. Stalin said, I care not who votes, I care who counts the votes. And let me kind of segue here just a little bit. Stanford did a study after the Democratic primary this last year, and they looked at the voting records of Hillary versus versus Crazy Bernie, Bernie Sanders. And they went to over 400 polling sites, voting sites, and they found, and I shared this with the governor of Texas, who's a friend of mine recently, and he was acting on it. But they did pre-poll. Everybody went into the voting booth, and then they compared the pre-poll to the actual vote. And so the polling stations that used paper ballots were absolutely consistent with the pre-polling. But every polling facility or voting facility that had electronic voting machines, every single one of them that were electronic voting machines, Hillary was at least 10% ahead of what the pre-polls would have shown. They control the voting machines. And in the contest between Hillary and Trump, they control voting machines. George Soros is part owner of one of the big companies that own the voting machines. And there's no way to check that work. There's no way to audit it. And so when Trump won, it had to have been the powers that be that allowed him to win. And yeah, he's done a few good things. You know, we've got a pretty good tax bill. We've got a good Chief Justice, I think. But you know what? Our kids are still in Afghanistan. We've doubled down on it. Now we're in Syria, doubling down on that. We're spending like drunken sailors. The stuff that's been going on in North Korea escalated to the point where it was a real threat. And we'll talk about that next. But yes, I'm slow to the party, but I'm now convinced that Trump is playing for the powers that be. He got the acting role of his life. And by the way, I believe Putin plays his role because this is all scripted. And so I've come to the decision, and it's a very difficult one because I was such a Trump supporter, that that he's bought and paid for, he's compromised. And that explains a lot of why he's not doing anything about Sessions and the criminal Clinton family and to look us in the eye and say that he's bringing our kids home from Syria, and then 3 days later there's an obvious false flag that he obviously knew about. And then we're lobbing missiles over there and sending our kids over there the next week. This is too much for me. I can't believe that. It's all by design. So that's what I've got to say about it.
I'm agreeing with your assessment in the latter days. Totally. I've written about it. In fact, I did a YouTube called Betrayed over the chemical false flag attack. I don't know if it's true for the primary. I know anything can be scripted, but he had 16 enemies in that primary, including Fox, the entire media. And the more the people ganged up on him, the stronger the support became from the American people. Do you think the deep state was working on the underdog mentality that will go with the person who's being put upon? Like you turn on TV and you root for the team that's behind, and you think that's what was happening there?
Well, you know what? I don't disagree with what you just said, but Rick Perry was one of those, and he was compromised. The governor of Ohio, Kasich, was compromised. Chris Christie was compromised. So they pretty much had the field covered. The only one that for sure was not compromised, and by the way, I know a lot of these people personally. I tell you who else was compromised. My senator here from Ted Cruz was compromised. And so they pretty much had their bases covered with the exception of Rand Paul. Did they get the details of the contract done before the primary was over? Nah, probably not. But they certainly knew who the players were and what their vulnerabilities were. And what they were willing to do for power. So, they didn't have to make all the deals because so many of those people had given their soul over long before.
There's a lot of truth in what you're saying there. I'm friends with Monica Wesolowski, who works in the State Department, and she almost got prosecuted on the Hatch Act because she dared after the election to put Trump's picture in her cubicle. Yet after the inauguration, her colleagues had Obama pictures all over the place. And I know she sent me copies. My point is, Gary, is that the deep state was fully ingrained, even down to the GS-12, GS-10, GS-8 levels. There was no conservatism left alive in the State Department.
You know, Dave, you brought up another point that we should talk about. The term deep state, you know, it became popularized this last 12 months, particularly about a year ago. If you'd use that term in public or at dinner, people would have looked at you like you were nuts, right? Conspiracy. But it's become popular now. We're allowed to talk about it. So what they did, the powers that be, was they kidnapped or hijacked, better word, they hijacked the term deep state and changed it to mean those leftover people that were beholden to Obama, for example, or the Clintons that were still in the, and there are those people, don't get me wrong. But a little over a year ago, when you and I, if we were going to talk about the deep state, we would not have defined it that way, which is, you know, kind of innocuous. We would have defined the term deep state as those powers that be, the ultimate powers. And it's funny, but by hijacking that term and redefining it, they actually got cover. They now know that if we use the term deep state, oh, we're talking about those holdovers. But do you remember before that happened, if we'd have talked about the deep state, it would have been those people, those powers that be. Do you remember the old definition of that?
Yeah, them, those, they, and I used to use the word establishment like most other people.
Well, even establishment, you know, they're just kind of the useful idiots. You know, and their motivation is to keep their jobs in Congress and to profit off of the military spending, or, you know, to not get an opponent in their primary race. They're just people that are self-motivated and want to enrich themselves and don't have any scruples or values. But this term deep state used to mean, you know, those people that we didn't know who they were, but they were pulling the strings behind the curtain. And now the term deep state simply means, our new connotation of it simply means that that these people that are embedded in their holdovers, but they're not necessarily the powers that be. Anyway, that was, I thought, an interesting co-opt of the term that was done very successfully by the people who don't want us really talking about the true deep state, who really runs things.
You know, I took it to mean the powers that be.
I did too.
Let me give you an example of how I used the term. I said, Hillary Clinton will never survive if she's indicted because she sits at the intersection of government and the deep state. In other words, the real decision makers that she could expose.
Yeah. And I agree with you. That was the old definition we all used. But when people began to talk about it, and by the way, in the right terms, you know, who's behind all this? The media successfully co-opted the term. And now it means, today it has a different definition. It means those holdovers. And it was a very smart thing they did by stealing that term. Because as we began to talk about it, they simply changed the term and it gave them cover. Anyway, I'm the only one I've ever heard make that point. I think it's fascinating that they've been able to, you know, it's like when the CIA used the term conspiracy theory for the first time back in the 60s to provide cover for the Kennedy assassination. You know, they invented this term, which then gave them cover, because anybody that talked about the real, you know, what really happened there, they would use the term conspiracy theory to shut you up. It was very successful, by the way, probably one of the most successful propagandist things that I've ever seen. Well, they've done something similar with by changing the definition of deep state.
You're probably right. I mean, we get so hung up on these labels, and we let them define us. But let me get down to following your line of reasoning here. Yesterday, when Trump was in Michigan, he said, if the Dems win the midterm election and get the majority in the House, I will be impeached. Well, if he's already on their team, why would you want to impeach him?
Well, you know, how much of this is fact, or how much of it is posturing? You know, I'd probably give you several other examples that you would question the whole motive. Why doesn't he go after these people? Why doesn't he order his sessions to deal with Comey or McCray, is that his name? You know, or the Clintons? I mean, all these people. It's so obvious that they broke the law, and yet he's done nothing to do that. And so, if he's worried about getting impeached, then why isn't he demanding his Justice Department to do its job against all of these people that deserve justice? And there's just so much that you can't explain. And so, him claiming that he would be impeached if we don't go out and vote for Republicans, there's some strategy there. But he's doing so many things that don't make any sense. If he's really the president, why isn't he doing it? I mean, there's so much that's unexplainable right now. I think that's a great challenge that you and I have to have, because it's so hard to think through all this stuff. But nothing is it seems. And I want to tell your audience, if they're not on board with this, all mainstream media, and I'm including Fox News in that, is propaganda. It's all written, and as you've taught me, 95% of mainstream media is owned by six companies. They sit on each other's boards. They all have the same message, and it's by design. And so, please, if you go to the mainstream media, do it for entertainment. Don't do it for facts.
I agree. Well, I mean, okay, so we sit down, we look at Fox, and they have the conservative viewpoint they espouse loudly and clearly, but even though they're closer in music to my ears in some cases, there's no news. It's all just like talking over the fence to your neighbor, and it's all conjecture, it's all rumor and innuendo, and they use the word deep state a lot. That's one thing I've noticed, and so you're absolutely right, but I'd like to just bring up as a point to what you're talking about here, Tucker Carlson. Occasionally, they go too far. Tucker Carlson, chemical false flag attack in Syria. He said everything but the exact words. He goes off the air for days, not to be heard from, didn't say he was going to take a vacation, so-and-so be filling in for me. And when he came back, he was introducing Sean Hannity, and Hannity said, good to have you back, Tucker. And when he came back, he never mentioned why he was gone. He was taken off and talked to. There's no question. So even those guys can go too far.
You know, there's two exceptions on Fox News. Judge Jeanine, who I got to meet at the inauguration, is fantastic. It's a fearless woman. And the other one is Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs is terrific. And when he uses the term of deep state, he defines it. Because he's realizing they've crapped the term, and he doesn't want to let him get away with it. So we still have some hope out there, and I highly recommend Lou Dobbs and Judge Jean. I listened to her today on something that she's fearless. She was after Comey and his absolute lying criminal behavior. So let's talk about North North Korea for a minute. I've got some couple of thoughts on that. You know, Trump's getting credit now for bringing Kim Jong-un to the table. And I don't think Trump deserves a credit for it. You know, yes, it's true. You know, he was tough on Kim Jong-un and a lot tougher than Obama was or anybody else. And, you know, he's enhanced the sanctions and he's dealt with China. And by the way, North Korea is a proxy for China and for Russia as well. Much like ISIS is a proxy for us in Syria.
Agreed.
So, you know, Kim Jong-un doesn't really have any authority. He does what he's told by his handlers in China or his handlers in Russia, which, by the way, is where he got his technology to have developed his missiles and his nuclear capability at the level it is right now. And, by the way, the Russians gave him the technology for a super EMP, which is probably the EMP that's going to hit us one day from North Korea, probably in one of these North Korean satellites that cross over several times a day. So he's just a puppet for these guys. And it looks like Trump being tough with him has accomplished that. But again, I think it's all theater. If anything got Kim Jong-un to the diplomacy table, it was the president of South Korea. His name is Moon. By the way, I don't know if you know this, and I learned this recently, but in Asia, the first name is the family last name. So Kim Jong-un, Kim is his last name, and that's how they do that. So anyway, Moon and Kim got together and are actually talking about opening the borders up and sharing trade and doing some things. Moon stood up. He's the president of South Korea. He stood up to Trump and the U.S. Foreign policy and refused to allow them to move forward with some nuclear weapons, some other technology that Trump wanted to move into the peninsula. He's the first South Korean leader to stand up to the U.S. In recent memory. And I think Kim Jong-un saw that and respected that. Because Kim Jong-un, you know, his primary goal, besides maintaining his status as a murdering dictator, you know, he's not a good dude at all. But he wants to protect his country from, you know, from becoming a vassal any more than it already is to Russia and China. So I think he saw South Korea stand up to the U.S. and he respected that and thought they were people that he could do business with. So I think the credit goes to the president of South Korea, Moon, for getting Kim to the table more than anything else. And this is important because, you know, we're playing the game of kings here, and who is controlling whom is I think it's important for us to try to figure out who's running things and where this is all going to head. And so, anyway, I wanted to comment on that. I don't think Trump gets credit for this one. I don't think he deserves a Nobel Prize for it. I think it was South Korea standing up to the U.S. that gained the respect of Kim Jong-un, got him to the table.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth in that, but, you know, I would say the South Korean leader was instrumental, but clearly Trump could have derailed it, couldn't he?
He may yet do that. It depends on whether it plays in the best interest of the powers that be. You know, they probably have more to gain from the belligerence between the U.S. and North Korea than they do a peace between the two. They need proxy armies so that people are fearful. I mean, how fearful were the American people when we had this fear that Kim Jong-un was going to lob a missile into Los Angeles? How fearful were we just a couple of weeks ago when Putin said, if you send missiles into Syria? You know, they only have power, they only are able to take away our rights if we have a boogeyman. And so they have been very successful at creating Putin as the boogeyman. Kim Jong-un is the boogeyman. So all of us Americans would cower in fear and give up our privacy rights, and even give up our kids to go to wars that are only in the money interest. So, you know, that's the ultimate game. And I think that it wouldn't surprise me if they undermine the peace process because it plays against their opportunity to keep us in fear.
When we bring all these things together, what do you see coming?
You know, I'm a daily Bible reader, and I just read Revelations very carefully again a few weeks ago. And what's fascinating to me is that the story that I believe that's going to be the final outcome comes out of Revelations, comes out of other books of the Bible, and it's very clear there will be a world government. There will be a world economic system. There will be wars that kill the majority of people on this planet. And I see these events lining up. You know, all that's happening in Israel and Syria and Damascus, these are all out of the Bible. And so the Bible becomes my standard of validation. And all of these things seem to be lining up more and more with the biblical version of how I see things playing out. So when it happens, you know, we don't know. I do know that that financially the U.S. Spending is unsustainable. We're so broke that it will never be repaid. I know that the petrodollar, which has given us time, is going away. China is now selling oil to Saudi Arabia selling oil to China, and the Chinese are paying in yuan and renminbi for the first time. And so, and the powers that be want the U.S. to diminish. They need a weakened U.S. That we stand in the way of their ability to acquire world government. So if you compare it to the biblical record, it's amazing how validating it is as things seem to be lining up. We're going to have an economic disaster, and it's going to be by design. And that's going to lead to us Americans being willing to give up our freedom in exchange to be fed. And, you know, you've been writing a lot lately about the China and Russia coming across our borders. They're already pre-positioned here. And as I mm-hmm. mentioned earlier, the UN and Obama had made a deal that the UN could come in and help to maintain order. And first thing they'll do is to try to take weapons away from American people. And there's another example. I mean, how much effort is being put into taking the weapons away from us right now? So,
you heard what Lisa Haven said in hour one. This Wisconsin mm-hmm. National Guard drill, they're going door to door. I don't care what they say. If they're going for graham crackers, they're really practicing going for guns.
Yep. And we, you know, that was a scene out of my movie, remember?
Yes, I do. Very good. That's why I wanted to bring the movie up tonight. When it wasn't on our topics to discuss, and I'm thinking, well, we're kind of living part of the movie now. You know, Gary, we're not too far from the end here of this segment, and I need to schedule you to come back for a part two because I feel like we're hanging. I feel like I'm left hanging here. Okay, I've kind of come up to the edge here, and we're at a nexus point, and we got less than 2 minutes to pull this together, so I'm going to be contacting you soon. In fact, stay on the line during the break if you wouldn't mind, because I want to see if you look at your calendar here, because we're hanging. And I just got an email here saying, can you hold Gary over for hour two? But yeah, we've already got a guest, so so we got to do something here with this. But you've laid the rail out. where I'll just give you a synopsis where I'm at. I don't know when Trump got compromised, but I knew for sure he was compromised when I got a call from a guy named Jack Eason and Paul Martin, and Larry Nichols heard this. And Larry Nichols was called, and Jack and Paul heard this. And Paul and I are such good friends. And no reason, and I know Jack very well, too. And Jeff Sessions called, why are you giving information to Dave Hodges behind the scenes? And he just railed on him. And I'm getting this secondhand now from both of these guys. Larry Nichols gave me nothing that I didn't find on my own. We talked about a couple of things, but he gave me, but I, that hit me right then. Uh-oh, because I'm hitting the nail on the head. Sessions got to go right now. We need indictments immediately. I'm hearing rumors Trey Gowdy is going to be the attorney general. And I'm thinking, okay, it's time, Donald, it's time. And when it didn't happen, and Larry Nichols got reamed by Jeff Sessions over me, that's when I knew something wasn't right. I knew it. I just knew it in my heart. And I thought maybe they threatened his family, because I like to assume good intentions. But and I don't know. I'm still confused. I don't know if I go as far back as you, but I know you can make a good case. So, but what I do know right now, he's not working on our behalf if you get away from some basic economic issues. Foreign policy is a disaster. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, yeah. And that, you're right. That's a whole other discussion about the neocons and the,
there you go.
The Woolsey and this, the plan for Israel to diminish all of the surrounding countries and break them up so that Israel can be the ruling power there. You know, this is all strategized. It's written about. It's out there. I need to put it
together. We got to hold it. We got to hold it right there, Gary. Hang on for a second, if you wouldn't mind, during this break coming up. And to everybody else,
yeah,
we got Pat Wood coming up. And I'll tell you, the technocracy news is off the charts. And it's coming home to roost in your daily life. It's no longer theoretical, and gee, this could come. It's here. So stay tuned in hour number three. Our thanks go to Gary Haven for joining us. And check out Amerageddon if you already haven't. And we'll see you in hour number three.